Good morning. Genesis chapter 1 is where we are. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We saw that last week. We saw God and the vastness of his creation. Today we'll move on to chapter 1 verses 2. Towards the end of the chapter, we're going to see everything that God created within 5 days. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So verse 1 summarizes the entire Genesis, God creating everything. Then verse 2, we get some details. What is in the heavens and what is on the earth? So the earth was without form and void. In the Hebrew, it sounds funny. It says in the heavens and the earth were tohu vabotu, bohu rather. No particular order, bohu, tohu, void, emptiness, this darkness, in the face of the deep. However, God was moving, wasn't he? The Spirit of God was hovering, moving around. Now we're going to see God the Father speak everything into existence. We're seeing God the Spirit moving in this dark, void, emptiness that the author could not even describe. And we see in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, Jesus, God the Son, actually making everything. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. For by him, talking about Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So the Father, the Son, the Spirit involved at creation, perfect unity of God at work. Now, from verse 1 to verse 2, there's probably some period of time that we do not know, but this could be when Satan fell. Because God creates everything at the beginning, and in verse 2, there's a little bit of disorder. And looks like that is when Satan fell and caused chaos, and God starts to put everything in order again. And we're going to see this pattern throughout scriptures. God establishes a particular order. God speaks his word. God sets instructions in place. But something that comes and disrupts everything. And then God again shows up to make everything upright. We're going to see that happen to man. We're going to see that happen in the days of Noah. We're going to see that happen to Abraham and through the entire scriptures. In fact, there is a law, I think it's Isaac Newton, who stated that everything starts from order to disorder. And then you set another order then to disorder. For example, a car maker makes perfect machine, it's on the road. What happens after 2 years? A little bit of disorder, then it has to go back to the garage and get some fixes. Anyway, the earth was formless, probably caused by Satan. We read in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 13, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You were weakened. You who weakened the nations, rather. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. God creates angels, and then there is this one particular beautiful angel that wants to ascend to the throne of God, and he was cast down and is going to march to the garden that God is going to plant to cause humanity to disobey God. In Psalm 104, verse 30, you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. The Bible says, God moves his breath, literally his spirit, and creates and renews. Let's see what God makes. Day one. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the day, the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So in this emptiness and vastness of darkness and vacuum almost, God speaks light into existence. Light be, and light was. And there's so much light that the darkness was completely eliminated. However, God separates day and night. Now, this is the beginning of our 24-hour cycle. Day and night. So the separation of light and darkness, day and night. This is when scientists or physicists, to be particular, say the earth started to go round. The rotation started on the orbit. In day 2, verses 6 to 8, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. In the second day, God separates water, the atmospheric water, and the liquid water that we know as seas and lakes and oceans and rivers. I cannot even imagine both in unity. You can't even think how all these things that we know as water was at one point one. And then God separates some to be in the atmosphere, and then some to go down and be lakes and oceans and rivers. We know that in our atmosphere, this is the heaven. We have gas and we have water. I've discovered that the five gases we have in the air is argon, carbon dioxide, helium, oxygen, and nitrogen. All necessary for human life and for so many chemical experiments and energy. Then we have H2O, water, the dew, the snow, the clouds. And I'm told in some space into the sky is completely without any gas whatsoever, any air. It's completely vacuum. On day 3, do you notice the order of the events here? Light first, so everything can be visible. And then a separation of the water sources. And God is creating ground for life. Day 3, verse 9 to 13. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its own kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So on the third day, the dry land appears. I can't also imagine how these waters were having been separated. How was that water looking like down? The earth wasn't there yet. And the earth, the land now exists to separate the land and the water bodies, the springs. Then God speaks vegetation into existence, the grass and the seed-bearing plants and trees. You see the order? Imagine God had created the grass first. Grass just hovering around the world, nowhere to stand. Imagine he had created the trees first. The trees would be just floating around. Light, separating the waters, and now vegetation is able to exist. This is the great order that we looked at last week. Nothing random, nothing just happens without God's prescribed order. The earth mentioned here has been studied, and the discovery is that we have over 3,000 minerals on the earth that we stand on. And those are the discovered ones. They are those that have not yet been discovered. Those minerals are composed of 100 elements, and a combination of those elements then forms what you call compounds. And there could be, research shows, 5 to 100 million tree species on the planet, tree and grass species on the planet, but science has only identified 2 million. So we only have 2 million species of fruit-bearing trees and grasses discovered out of probably 100 million. And think about the vastness of grass alone. In every part of the world you go, the grass is different. The trees, different. Only few have been even named. I'm sure that some trees where you come from and science has no name for it. Fruit-bearing plant species in the world estimated at 270,000. Seed of fruit-bearing plants, 270,000. Only about 2,000 edible. Now, every fruit or seed-bearing plant actually has so many types in its own category. For example, bananas. Over 1,000 types of bananas around the world. Just bananas alone. I'm told rice, over 100,000 types of rice around the world. Can you imagine? 100,000. Oranges, hundreds. Apples, hundreds. Maize, the white, the brown, the yellow, and so many others that we don't even know of. This is the vastness of God's creation. And it sets you thinking, and if creation alone is this vast, how can we even think we can fully fathom God himself? Day 4, verses 14 to 19. Then God said, "There there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." Now we have the establishment of seasons, years, the 12-month year that we know. "And let them be for light in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Now don't be misled here. We can easily think it's the light that God created on day one, that now he's separating. This is completely different. Now we know from another place that God is light. Alright? Literally, on day one, God was really giving a glimpse of himself to light the world. And now, he creates what we know as the sun, the moon, and the stars. Then God made the two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to light the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give them light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning, and that was the fourth day. So God sets the sun in place. It was bright. The moon and the stars, we saw them last week. The earth, I'm told, 93 million years, kilometers rather away. The moon, a little closer. The stars, even farther. We can't even reach the other stars. The sun is actually a star. Scientists describe it as a ball of gas and explosions that produce this light that we see and the heat that we feel. Just look at the perfect heat and light the sun gives. If the sun was just a few meters closer, just a few, maybe just 10 meters closer, we would all melt. Everything you see around would just melt. If the sun was just a few meters farther from where it is, everything would freeze. Life would be impossible. The moon there just reflecting the light that is cast from the sun, and the stars almost twinkling, as our eyes can see. But there are actually a lot of chemical reactions and explosions that produce that light and heat that we can't even fathom. Just imagine the world without the sun. Everybody would be in darkness and cold. And then there are some light and heat producing creatures. We're going to see the insects, the moth, the light fly, the jellyfish. They're like bulbs. It produces what you call biochemical energy, just energy within itself. Can you imagine your face just glowing like every 5 seconds? And you're producing your own energy and light. Right? You don't even need umeme. Every 5 seconds, every 5 seconds, like the jellyfish, just like a bulb inside the fish, and it's, that is its body. Just amazing. We saw last week over 100 billion planets in the vastness in the sky that we see. There's a pastor who tells the story of Russian astronauts doing space exploration in the 1960s. And one of them was radioing a message to the space station there in Russia. And he was saying how he is in the skies, in the heavens, and is looking through his window and is looking out for God, and God is not there. And this pastor says, you know what? If that man wanted to see God, you know what he should have done? Just try opening the door. And you will see God's power. Just open the door for just a second and you will be gone. Sucked up, frozen. In Psalm 19, if you don't mind opening up there real quick. Psalm 19, this is a psalmist just pondering about the creation that he sees. Maybe it was night and David walks out of his rooftop and is just looking at the skies. And in chapter 19, verses 1 to 6, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the expanse, the earth and the waters shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun." Here he mentioned the sun, "which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." The psalmist there just describes everything, just speaking of the greatness, the beauty, the amazing nature of God in every language. And he just picks out the sun. And when it's rising, it's as if it's a wedding day. And this groom cannot wait to meet his bride. And he runs out of the house to go to church for the wedding. And this circuit is established. Its movement is, it's not just wandering around. It's perfectly established in movement. From one end to the other. It's going around. Amazing. Day 5. Verses 20 to 23. "Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of the living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heaven. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters are abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the skies, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day." From the fifth day, we have water creatures of all kinds, and then birds. And God particularly says, every bird or every sea creature of its kind. He made them male and female, and he tells them to multiply. Water creatures of all kinds, 23,500 water creatures. And that is just the known ones. 23,500. The known ones. Sure, there are some that are completely still unknown. Birds, 9,000 to 10,000 species known. We can only number a few. They fly all over the place. Beautiful. Up to 10,000 known species. Wow. You can just live the entire duration of your life just looking at birds. Just from place to place looking for a different species. And you won't even finish them. Sea creatures. The stingrays, the whales, the tilapias, you know, the poisonous ones, the starfish, the catfish. Wow. And then day 6, 24 to 25, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle, creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Everything set in place. Everything good. All the animals, the lions, are still vegetarian. None is preying on each other. We're not even told the number of each species that God created. Maybe just a pair. Male and female lion, male and female elephant. God told them to procreate, to multiply, giving them ability to increase in number. So we see land animals, we see creatures that move to the ground, insects, domestic animals. There are about 6 main classes of animals. The mammals, the huge ones. Mammals and primates, you know, the whales, you know, the chimpanzees and gorillas. See the birds. God just says birds fly around and they're there flying. The fish, the reptiles, the amphibians and arthropods, insects. Now each one of these are quite unique on their own. The mammals, those are our closest relatives, we are told. Almost like human. Almost, but they're still so far off from being human. Birds, you've seen them. And the reptiles, the crocodiles, the turtles. And then there are those that can survive on both water and on land. Isn't that amazing? Amphibians. They just walk out of water and they're breathing in on the earth. And they kind of just dive in and I don't even know how they breathe in and out. We try to be amphibian, we don't last, right? We can only go in the water for just a few minutes and come out of the water just breathing once and duck in again. Estimated about 5,000 mammals, 7,000 reptile species, 5,400 amphibian species, 30 million insects. When I was doing this, I was reminded of the so many insect species that I ate when I was an infant. I remember there was this black thing that would come in during the rainy season. They were black, they probably bigger and healthier than termites. I don't even know how they are called. But as kids, you just find stuff and you eat. You never got sick. I remember eating raw insenene when I was a child. Very delicious. Try them. I can't try it today, though. And God made the insects, the insenene. Praise the Lord for insenene, for those who enjoy it. And then there are those that are completely poisonous. In some places, they eat cockroaches. They actually rear them. And they breed them. And it's a delicacy. The snakes. A man tells a story of visiting a family. I think it was in the U.S. And this family had a pet snake. And they told him, all right, we have a snake. It's a pet. We can't find it right now. Maybe it's just moving around. This guy is from Uganda. If it comes around, be nice to eat. And this guy is thinking, that thing, it crosses my sight, I'll kill it. So he's led into his room, and you know what he does? He fills all the louvers and all the holes to make sure the snake doesn't, you know, creep him. People breed snakes for pets. They're thinking, what? Okay. We're going to see that. Just in our neighborhood in Congo, it's a delicacy. We should try it in Uganda. We have so many. I'm told they're very delicious. 30 million insect species found, and that is not all. And God tells them, this is probably a hint that in perfection of Eden, animals spoke. Because God told them, be fruitful and multiply. They understood that. Can you imagine? God makes everything and he tells the fruits and the plants and the grasses and the snakes and the lions, be fruitful. And they're like, yes, sir. We're going to be fruitful. No wonder at the fall, Adam and Eve weren't surprised that a snake was speaking. They're just like, hey, hello, snake. How are you? How's your day? And they're just having a conversation and thinking, a snake speaking, I'll take off for my life. But here, God speaks to every living creature, and they're like, yes, sir, we're going to be fruitful and multiply. We're going to procreate. Amazing. How did these animals, we're going to see this in Genesis 10 later, Noah, he makes this ark. How on earth would Noah command all the animals and the birds to get in the ark? Like, what communication mode would he have to use? Right? And you're wondering, how on earth did the lions get in there? They probably spoke. And maybe after the fall, the speech was taken away. I don't know, just an imagination. Don't create a false religion out of that. This is God's great power. This is God's great beauty. This is God's great accuracy and exactness. This is God's great order. However, like we said last week, so many mysteries yet to be discovered. This is the God we worship and believe in. Now, there are those who, instead of looking at the Creator, they look at creation and they bow down before creation. They look at the cow. It has meat and milk. Oh, cow, you are so amazing, cow. We'll worship you. They look at the goats. Oh, you have horns. We'll worship you. Pantheists. They look at the insects. Oh man, these insects are amazing. Let's bow down before them. They go to the lectures and they're thinking, this is amazing. This must be a god. This water body must be a god. They look at the sun shining like, oh, this is the god sun. The sun god, rather. The moon. And they worship the created beings instead of a creator. Isn't that foolish? In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, Isaiah wrote, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and the earth, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. And God says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. He creates everything in great form, Isaiah wrote. He establishes everything. A lion is a lion. An elephant is an elephant. You don't see a lion elephant. Now, of course, with science and genetic engineering, they're trying to mix up stuff to get maybe better breeds. I think it was Kenny was telling me that I made a tiger lion or something like that. But everything was established in its own kind. Goats were goats and dogs were dogs. Insects were insects. Trees were trees. I was just reading that scientists and agriculturalists are trying to recreate, a plant that can produce over 40 types of fruits, just one tree. And on that tree, they're trying to get an apple, a mango, orange, strawberry, and everything. Like what? Just wish them good luck, right? I won't eat those apples. In Revelation chapter 4, we'll close with this. The 24 elders, It's a heavenly scene. We saw in Colossians how there are things that we can't see. There are creatures that we can't see, angels. The wind that blows, the air we can't see. The seraphim and the cherubim, these mighty beings, six eyes all over, you're thinking a being with six eyes on its wings, and oh boy, in every eye you have so many different features, almost indescribable. And then you have the 24 elders, the humans, that end up in heaven. Do you know what they say? Day and night? You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Amen? That's all we'll do in heaven. And that's all we should do on earth. Just to bow down before our Creator. Every day we should be reciting these verses and saying these words in many ways, through our words, deeds, and thoughts. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist, and were created. And tell you what, God is not yet done. 5 days is the sixth day that he will complete his creation. Even the first day was enough to just set us bound before our Creator. Light be, light was, you're like, God, you're amazing. You're worthy to receive glory and honor and power. You created the light. And then day two, God, you're worthy to receive all glory. You created the waters. You separated them. You marked out their boundaries. Day three, God, you are so worthy. You created the lakes and the oceans and the land that we stand on, the 3,000 discovered minerals. On day four, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, for you created the sun, moon, and the stars, the planets. On day five, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor. You created all that we see, and we can have as food, the plants, the animals, the fish, the birds. Oh, that reminds me, again, in our country upbringing. Grew up in the village a couple of years, and I can't even remember how many bird species we shot down and ate. And then we moved to another part of the country, and were telling these kids, I think I was about 10, and telling these kids, oh, we can get these birds and eat them. And they're thinking, what, you eat birds? Like, you guys don't understand, these things are delicious. And they're just laughing. Anyway, Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist, and we are created. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, thank you so much for revealing your greatness, your glory, your beauty, your power to each one of us, O God. Lord, when we see everything that you made in their beauty and order and uniqueness, God, our hearts just melt. Our minds are blown. Lord, we just bow down to worship you, and that's why we're gathered here. Just singing these songs to adore you, to worship you, to honor you. You created all things. You are worthy of all honor, respect, and worship, O God. Lord, you are glorious. You are wonderful. You are mighty. You are great. Lord, I pray that you would come to new appreciation of you and your creation every day. Lord, that each time we see that sunrise, we see your beauty, we see your glory and power. Each time we see a fruit budding for us to enjoy, we just give you glory. Each time we see the brightness of the moon, the twinkling stars, each time we go swimming, each time we drink water, But we just would bow down and honor you. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.